Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does the Iowa town of Buxton have to teach us about Black and American history? Let's go in depth with Rochelle Chase, author of Creating the Black Utopia of Buxton, Iowa. So Rochelle, tell us a little bit about Buxton.
Buxton was a coal mining town established in 1900 by the Consolidation Coal Company, which was owned by the Chicago Northwestern Railroad. And it was very different from other coal mining towns, both in terms of the town itself, but what it's most well known for is the fact that a large majority of the population was African-American, for most of its existence, 40 to 55% of the population. And this was in, 1900, we're talking about. And Black people were treated equal to whites. There was no forced segregation. You had Black and white people living next door to each other. You had their children going to the same schools, being taught by teachers of both races. They were working in the company store together, shopping together, and then you had a large amount of, African-American entrepreneurs, business owners, in addition to miners. You had doctors, lawyers, teachers, constables, justices of peace, et cetera. And so they were like leaders in the community. So, when you think of what was going on, for African-Americans throughout the country and also even in Iowa at that time, this was very much not the norm. So that is, like I said, one of the things that makes Buxton even more amazing was that it had all this going on at a time when Black people were experiencing, extreme racism, violence, unequal rights, unequal treatment, et cetera, outside of Buxton.
And Buxton was, and what's left of it, which isn't much, is southwestern Mahaska County, right?
It was in Monroe County and Mahaska County. Most of it was in Monroe County. It is about, where Eddyville, well, of course, where Eddyville is. It's about 12 miles or so due west of Eddyville. So, and north of Albia. I'm not sure from Knoxville, how many miles away it is from Knoxville.
Yeah, well, that's all right. We get a picture of where it is in our heads. And so what made Buxton special?
The African-American part, again, because if you had this large African-American population in Buxton and in a state also that was 99.3% white, and you had this large population of African-Americans who were treated equal, that, were thriving and leaders in the community. The town itself, as we alluded to, was also unique in that it was not like your typical coal mining town, in that people, they lived in nice houses for a coal mining town, in that they were 1.5 stories, they weren't shacks. The town was organized, it was planned. Ben Buxton had hired a designer, an architect, to help him with some of the buildings and to plan the town. So, and the company spent over $6 million when you look at mining rights, equipment, and also the buildings and such in the town or designing the town. It was a major investment in Buxton.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Rochelle Chase, author of Creating the Black Utopia of Buxton, Iowa. What made Buxton this place where there was, relatively speaking, equality?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question for me anyway, of why they did this. Buxton and its predecessors, Mushuckanic, Mushuckinock, I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. I never know what the correct pronunciation is. But Muchie, it started in 1874, 1873, when the McNeil brothers started buying up coal in South the southern part of Iowa, and they formed it into the Consolidation Coal Company. So it was kind of, Muchie was the predecessor to Buxton. And they started this treating, black people equal when they started recruiting African-Americans from Virginia and other places to come work in their coal mines. What's interesting is Consolidation Coal was not the first coal mining company to do this. Albia Coal, White Breast, there were other coal companies that were doing this. But for whatever reason, the McNeils were the first ones that were, at least that I've been able to find, that seemed to, that were treating, you know, the black men equal, giving them equal pay. And they kind of started that. So then when the Buxtons came along, John Emery Buxton before Ben Buxton, took over Consolidation after it was sold to the Chicago Northwestern Railroad, they did even more. They took what the McNeils had started and set this equality in motion even more so than the McNeils had done. But the reason why they've done this continues to be a mystery, because they didn't have to. You know, there were a lot of companies, especially when you look at railroad and you look at all the racism and, you know, segregation that the Pullman porters and others, you know, working in the railroad industry, you know, that were African-American experienced. The railroad industry was not known for treating whites equal. I'm sorry, black people equal. The mining industry was not known for that. So yet and still you have this town, this coal mining town owned by a railroad where that is not the case. So I have to believe it starts with the men themselves wanting to do this. I found out that both the McNeils and the Buxtons came from a family that were fought on the Union side, so they were against slavery. Wilbur McNeil had also served in the Union War, I'm sorry, in the Civil War on the Union side, and Ben Buxton, John Emery Buxton's brother, as brothers as well. So you have that in common. They were both from Congregationalist church families, which could have contributed to it. So perhaps those things had some, you know, had some influence on why they decided to do this. But I don't really know. I have not been able to find that out. Of course, it was a business. You know, this was a business. So the railroad, I would assume, would have said, sure, you guys can go ahead and try this if you want. As long as we're making money, we don't really care. Now, this is me, of course, guessing that. But I don't think it came down from the railroad, because the Chicago Northwestern Railroad, from what I've been able to read, I can't find anything that says they were really, you know, gung-ho on treating, you know, blacks equal. So it has to be from the men themselves.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Rochelle Chase, author of Creating the Black Utopia of Buxton, Iowa. Well, and you've written elsewhere that everybody had about the same shot at, you know, their piece of the pie, and that had to help with that more equality comes with equity. Is that your argument?
That's it. I was really addressing more in terms of why they established the town like that to begin with, but I do think that yes, in terms of why people got along there. Again, even though, like with my book, Creating the Black Utopia of Buxton, Iowa, I say utopia in it, I'm using that loosely to say that compared to where black people came from, you know, the South and such, coming to Buxton, it would have felt kind of like that, but it was not perfect. You know, you've got people coming from the South, you've got people, you know, both blacks and whites coming with their own, you know, prejudices or experiences or viewpoints of the opposite race. So you come to Buxton and now you're together in this community. Well, you've got the leaders that are saying, you know what, we are not going to tolerate racial violence and racial strife. So there, that way people that can't deal with that are going to leave. So that's the first thing. You've got then also, as you mentioned, the town, the founders, saying, okay, we're gonna give everybody equal access to things. We're gonna give everybody equal access to education, to entrepreneur. They can get a loan from the Buxton Bank. We're gonna give everybody, you know, equal housing. We're going to pay everybody the same. So I feel like even if people, you know, were maybe they're not really thrilled to be in this integrated society, that, well, they're not going to act on that, because really, what is the reason to fight for? Why is there a reason when, you know, you have the opportunity to make as much money as you can? So I do think that contributed to the peace that you had in Buxton. And I do also feel like, you know, the fact that you had African Americans being the majority and that they were leaders in this town, they weren't, you know, they not only financially were they doing well, they, you know, the YMCA was built for them. They ran and operated that. They were instrumental in running the town. I think that also contributed to it.
Rochelle, what does Black History Month mean to you?
Well, that's kind of, I'll answer that twofold. For me, you know, the positive side of Black History Month is that I am glad that there's at least, there's focus, you know, on African-American history, you know, during Black History Month. Conversely, though, I believe that Black History is not a month long. It's like it is something that should be year-round. It is something that should be always, you know, in the spotlight, because, you know, the thing that bothers me in general is, like, when I go to museums, you know, like, for example, I went to the museum in Dodge City. It was the, what's the name of the museum? I'm drawing a blank. But I went there, and it's like the Dodge City is like, you know, the place for cowboys and Western, you know, that whole thing at that time. And I go there, and there's like just one little panel tucked away in a corner that had, you know, a picture of a black cowboy, and, you know, I think there was maybe a Mexican picture of a Mexican cowboy as well. And that was, and there was another placard, I think, that mentioned African Americans, and that was it. And I feel like, you know, just like Black History Month, Black History gets one month in the spotlight. If African American history experiences are mentioned anywhere, it feels like it's like this afterthought. It's tucked away in a corner if it's mentioned at all, when it really should be integrated into every aspect of history, you know, because again, African American history is American history, and it should be incorporated and interwoven in everything. So the short answer to your question is, you know, yeah, it's great that there is attention made or paid attention to Black history for Black History Month. I would just like to see it expanded to, you know, being interwoven all throughout history.
Well, as you say this, the Iowa legislature is meeting, and they're trying to get the 1619 project, a project by a Waterloo native that won the Pulitzer Prize for the New York Times, that reframes American history from the perspective of slavery and giving it, the central importance that it played. And we have Iowa legislators wanting to take money away from schools and colleges for teaching the 1619 project. So when there is an effort made to integrate more Black history, and especially the history of slavery, a lot of people don't want to hear that. What's your reaction?
Well, and I think it's unfortunate. I mean, Nicole Hannah-Jones has done some wonderful work with the 1619 project, and I really feel like it's whenever... I guess I'm not surprised is my point. It's sad. I feel like because people have not been taught this, you know, it seems like, oh my gosh, you know, this is revisionist history. This is whatever. This is made up. And that is not the case. There's also, I think, this people don't want to confront that side of the past. It has never been dealt with adequately. I think I mentioned, you know, to you offline that when I was taught about slavery in school, I was taught that, you know, slaves were happy on the plantations. Most of the masters were kind. There were a couple of cruel ones. Black people couldn't take care of themselves. So this, you know, that's why this, they had the slavery. It's like, literally, I was taught these things. If you have people coming up and you're being taught this kind of stuff, or you're not taught at all, and then you've got the 1619 Project, there's this horrible resistance. And it is just, that is why this project like the 1619 are so crucial, because we need to confront that history, and everyone needs to know about it.
Yeah, when you wrote about this experience, you wrote about it from the perspective of a little girl that was being taught this, and it was just, I don't know, it was very sad to listen to your, or to read your narrative.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but I would like to say that I did, you know, my way of trying to address some of this, to get the word out, to give people experiences about African-American history, is I started a nonprofit called Uniting Through History, and it's unitingthroughhistory.org. So people can check that out and see some of the things that I'm trying to leverage, some of the work I've done with Buxton, and really start to get more involved in history.
Well, and to me, this is something, all of this exposure to these different experiences is exciting. It's fascinating. But to others and members of the Iowa legislature, they see it as a threat.
Yeah, I because I feel the same way. It just seems like every day, and that's a big plus too, like with the internet, and every day I'm learning something new about history of African Americans and other people of color. I'm focusing on, you know, Black Americans, because I am, but it applies, everything I'm saying applies to the history, you know, of people of color in general. But my point is, I'm always learning. Every day I learn about some new book or some new facet of history that I didn't know about, or some new experience, both good and bad, the contributions, you know, as well as, you know, some of the things that I just never learned in school. And so from that perspective, it's awesome to know that there's so much material out there. It's just that, you know, everybody needs to learn about this history.
Thanks to Rochelle Chase for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.